my husband is, well, he's required to speak publicly.
I have received
perhaps he should change jobs.
And what of my husband with a king? My husband has seen everyone.
Insert them into your mouth.
The world that
enunciate.
He hasn't seen me. I can cure your husband, but I need total trust. What was your earliest memory?
I'm not here to discuss personal matters.
Well, why are you here then?
Because I bloody well stammer!
Do you know any jokes?
Timing isn't my strong suit.
Your methods are unorthodox and controversial.
No. Up comes your royal highness.
It's actually quite good fun.
Yes. Oh. Art thou afeard? It's your peculiar. I take that as a compliment.
War with Germany will come. Everyone need a king whom we can all stand behind.
He's afraid of his own shadow.
The nation believes that when I speak for them. But I can't speak.
You could do it. You needn't be governed by fear.
It'd be like mad King George the Stammer. Get up! You can't sit there! Get up!
Why not? It's a chair.
That is St. Edward's chair.
People have carved their names.
Listen to me! Listen to me!
Why should I waste my time listening to
you? Because I have a voice!
Yes, you do.
Your greatest test is yet to come.
I'm an army!
What's he saying?
I don't know, but he seems to be saying it rather well. Your first wartime speech.
Broadcast to the nation and the world.
This great time of crisis.
However this turns out, I don't know how to thank you. Bertie, you're the greatest man I know.
I intend to be a very good queen.
To a very great king. Forget everything else and just say it to me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Podcast. I'm your super host, Super Marcy. And this is our super, like, post-Oscar show, because the Oscars were the other night, and we want to discuss them because stuff happened. And that's pretty much all you need to know for now, because I'm going to introduce my co-host, who isn't always trusty, but he's there. So please welcome the terrible Australian Bead. Hello.
Oh, hi. Oh, hi, Marcy.
Oh, hi.
I was about to do, like, my Morgan Freeman impression, but the screen that had, like, that line didn't come up, so I fell flat.
maybe you can do it during the show at some stage.
Yes.
Before we go any further, I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
Bede, why are you a terrible Australian?
I actually have two reasons why I'm terrible for this week. Yes. The first one, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Garfield, the movie.
Why?
Because it's Garfield.
Yes, I went to go watch this movie, and then I realized within 5 minutes of how absolutely shit it was, and then I stopped it. But I guess you're the kind who doesn't stop it, and you watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it must keep going.
but did you enjoy it? That is the question.
Not really, no.
Hmm. And
although I will admit Bill Murray was still a good choice to play the voice of Garfield the cat.
Yes, you can see where his career has gone.
Zombieland, baby.
Indeed. Well, that was good, but, you know, Garfield's kind of a low point. What's the second reason why you're a terrible Australian and Marcy, stop umming?
Okay. My second reason why I'm a terrible Australian is in the Joe Blow Oscar prediction contest, I accidentally picked Michelle Williams to win Best Actress over Natalie Portman.
For shame. For shame.
Mind you, it was a total accident because I thought I did pick Natalie, but when the actual submitted screen came up and I saw Michelle Williams there instead of Natalie's, I just went, no!
Like in slow motion.
Yes, I fell to the ground, threw my hands up in the air and just in slow motion went, no! Because I knew automatically I lost 8 points on the contest.
Facepalm.
Yes.
Indeed.
I was not happy about that.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. That's, like, ridiculous. anyway, should we introduce our special guest who has not been on the podcast before?
Yes.
Which means it's cherry popping time.
Pop.
Pop. Pop. Alrighty. Please welcome the one, the only, Randy Chico.
Hey, everyone. This is me.
Oh, hi, Randy.
I couldn't nerve. Hi. Hi, B. Hi, Marcy.
Hello.
Yes. How are you guys?
Good.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm the super guest today, huh?
Yes, huh?
Yes.
You know, the super, super guest, huh?
Huh?
Bede wants to ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Wait.
I thought you were going to ask all of our guests a specific question that has to do with...
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Well, how's your sex life, huh?
It's pretty good, huh?
That is an awesome response. And when you say that, that makes me jealous. But anyway. stop umming. Okay. We are going to get on to the podcast because our topic, like I said, is the Oscars. They've happened. We all made our predictions. And as B pointed out, he kind of sucked with making a mistake. And I thought I was on a good roll. However, it turned out
But you thought wrong.
Yes, however, it turned out to be kind of wrong because in the Joe Blow staff contest, a specific guest came third because he can predict the future.
That's right. We're all going to die, actually.
Well.
You know.
Ah, damn it.
Damn it.
Yeah, so sorry.
Ah.
Just let's make the most of it.
Yes, let's talk about the Oscars because it's awesome. Fuck, I keep doing it. Stop it, Marcy. Okay.
So when we started, you started okay, but I was like, I didn't choose Melissa Liu, for example. I totally had it going for
Haley Steinfeld. Yeah,
that's the one. And I don't know, I was pushing for her win, but well. Sadly, she didn't win. She's still young, you know. She has a chance later in life, whatever. But yeah, I was starting with not a good run, but later, you know, catch up.
Yeah,
thank you, Tom Hooper.
Yes, I made my mistakes on the director and the movie for some stupid reason. I should have just gone with that. I did it again. Seriously, this umming has got to stop. Okay, all right. So, I'm going to read out all the awards and who won, and then we will get into, you know, which ones we would like to discuss. So, starting from the top, we have Best Short Film Live Action and the movie God of Love by Luke Matheny won.
The guy with the hair.
Yes, the guy with the awesome hair.
That was Joey Ramone.
Joey Ramone. indeed. So we had Best Short Film Animated. The winner was The Lost Thing, which was by Sean Tan and Andrew Ruhman. Can't pronounce names. I believe this was Australian and stupid me. Slap to the face. I mean, I picked this movie, but I didn't realise I knew who Sean Tan was. And I have his autograph and a little sketch in a compilation book. So I have met him and I just didn't realize and I feel stupid. Moving right along, the best documentary short subjects was Strangers No More.
Which I picked.
That was by Karen Goodman and Kirk Simon. We've got best documentary feature, which was far out, I can't pronounce things, Inside Job. By Charles Ferguson and Audrey Mars, and I believe I picked this one.
I picked it too.
I picked exit through the gift shop, I totally wanted Banksy to win, you know, maybe make a surprise appearance, vandalize the Oscar stage.
Yeah. I've already, like, vandalized the Oscar stage when they did that old AQ, like, music montage.
No, that was that was on purpose.
It was?
Yeah, when Twilight came on.
Oh, yeah, well...
Twilight came on. that weird music segment. Everyone was like, what the fuck?
I know, it was so freaking bizarre.
Anyway... But maybe we can talk about that later.
Yeah, hopefully I can survive reading out the rest of the awards. Best Achievement in Visual Effects, Inception.
Yeah.
I did
as well. The people that won that was Chris Corbould. I'm going to butcher these names. Andrew Lockley, Pete Bev, and Paul J. Franklin. Best Achievement in Sound Editing, the winner was Inception with Richard King. Best Achievement in Sound Mixing, Inception, which was Laura Hirschberg, Gary Rizzo, and Ed Novick. And I think I picked all of those because I knew Inception was awesome and it was going to win because it had to win something. Let's see. Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures Original Song. The winner was Randy Newman for Toy Story 3 with the song We Belong Together.
Always bet on Randy. Come on.
Randy. But we know that you're the awesome Randy. Randy.
Of course.
Indeed. Damn straight.
Let's see. Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures Original Score was The Social Network with Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Woo-hoo. Did I pronounce that right? I have no idea.
Yes, that's right.
I picked that one as well. Let's see. Best Achievement in Makeup, which was The Wolfman, Rick Baker and Dave Elsley, which I picked as well. I wasn't going to bet against...
Academy Award winner, The Wolfman.
The Wolfman.
The Wolfman.
I know, it's so bizarre, but wait for this next one. Best Achievement in Costumes Design, winner Alice in Wonderland, Colleen Atwood.
I picked that one, I think.
I'm just like, Alice in Wonderland, Oscar, facepalm.
But you haven't seen
it. Worse. I know, but I don't know if I can.
You can it, you will.
It won another one.
It's at least better than The Wolfman.
I didn't hate The Wolfman, but anyway.
You might not hate Alice in Wonderland.
Well, possibly. I mean, I'm a huge Alice in Wonderland fan, and I was excited to see it, but then the bad reviews kind of put me off, and Johnny Depp looked so wrong.
Stupid.
You really, like, what the hell?
But you watch Sharkapus, so...
Oh my god, Sharkapus.
If you can watch Sharkapus, you can watch Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, definitely.
Alrighty, I didn't really want to finish Sharktopus, but it had to be done. I took one for the team, maybe. Alright, so Best Achievement in Art Direction, again, was Alice in Wonderland, Robert Stromberg, Karen O'Hara.
We'll never bet against a Tim Burton movie in the Art Direction category.
Indeed a Rooney. Let's see... Best Achievement in Editing, the winner was The Social Network, which I picked. That was Kirk Baxter and Angus Wall. Best Achievement in Cinematography, the winner was Wally Pfister, and I don't like saying that name because I think of something else. And I'm Fister.
Yeah, that was the first surprise in the night, right? He's like,
me too.
Everybody was counting on Roger Deakins to take it.
It kind of felt like it was Roger Deakins' time to just win.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. And True Grit, in my opinion, hands down, had the best cinematography. It was so amazing. I mean, I have nothing against Inception winning, but I just think it belonged to the Deakins.
Well, the thing is, personally for me, I'm going to sound controversial. Like, I did, like, love the cinematography in True Grit, but it's not one of Roger Deakins' best cinematography works. I mean, it's not up there with the caliber of, like, you know, his doubleheader that was The Assassination of Jesse James and No Country for Old Men. Like, I mean, other than like the opening shot of that movie, which was spectacular, I don't even really remember much of like the best looking shots of that movie, to be honest.
Well, you kind of suck. That's all there is to it. Because
well, I'm just saying,
it's true about the assassination of that guy.
But yeah, well,
that was incredible. I mean, in comparison, of course, none of these movies get to that level.
Yeah, so where
I think if he should win, it should be sort of something that's even better than his work in Jesse James, because that to me is like his best cinematography.
He should have won for that movie. Like, that award just should have gone to him automatically. But
damn straight.
No. See, this is where the Oscars piss us off. Let's get through the rest. We've got Best Foreign Language Film of the Year winner In a Better World from Denmark by Susan Beer. We have
In a Better World, Mexico should have won, you know.
In a Better World, Dogtooth should have won because that movie is amazing.
Have you seen Beautiful?
I have not.
So
I've only seen Dogtooth, and that's the movie I was going for.
Exactly. Marzi, what if, like, In a Better World is, like, even better than Dogtooth?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, I guess for the fact that I saw Dogtooth, and Dogtooth has just been on my mind since I saw it, and it's just been this unbelievable kind of movie. Yeah, I don't know. Definitely. I guess I thought maybe something that contained, like, actual sex might win, but, whatever. okay. Let's go. Best Animated Feature Film of the Year, Toy Story 3, Lee Unkrich, which I think we all knew that would win.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, as if it was going to lose.
You call it the Pixar category.
It really should be just like Pixar.
I'm just really happy Cars 2 is coming out next year, because I know it's not going to win the award next year.
Yeah, really.
Yes, finally.
Finally, we can like give it to another film. Other than a Pixar one.
Try to come up with a quality film. Like, all the other studios are, like, frantically coming up with a super film to win it.
Yeah, they really need to. Let's see. Best Writing Screenplay based on material previously produced or published. Winner, The Social Network, Aaron Sorkin. I think this was kind of obvious in my estimation because that was the screenplay of the year.
I agree.
Hands down. Basically, that was it.
Yep.
Let's see. Best writing screenplay written directly for the screen. The winner was The King's Speech, David Snidler,
I think.
David Seidler. There we go. I picked... Shit, what did I pick? Oh, actually, I think I picked The King's Speech.
Yeah, pretty much The Social Network and The King's Speech were the two front runners, so they gave each one their due in the writing categories.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I liked The King's Speech, and I liked the script. I mean, I just felt like it was the obvious choice for that category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as we already mentioned, best achievement in directing was Tom Hooper, The King's Speech.
James Cameron's clone.
AKA James Cameron de-aged. We got best performance by an actress in a supporting role winner, Melissa Leo, The Fighter. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role, Christian Bale for The Fighter. Best performance by an actress in a leading role, Natalie Portman for Black Swan. Best performance by an actor in a leading role. The winner was Colin Firth for The King's Speech. And the best motion picture of the year was The King's Speech. So, like, I mean, we've kind of discussed them a little, but what was maybe, like, one specific category that surprised you the most, if I ask Bede first?
I'd definitely have to say best cinematography because, like a lot of people, I suspected Roger Deakins to win. Because, you know, I said on, like, our pre-show, like, he's been nominated 8 times previously and has never won. And I just figured, you know, even though, like, for me personally, like, even though the cinematography in True Grit was great, but it wasn't my pick as the best cinematography in the category. And, in fact, I thought Inception was the best, and but I just sort of went with the grain of, you know, go for Roger Deakins because, you know, he's been nominated so many times. He hasn't won, so it might go to him. But in the end, he decided to go to Wally Pfister, which I thought was pretty well deserved. And as well as shocking as well, because I didn't expect it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for myself, I would say it, I mean, that one. And I was really kind of surprised with the directing. And I know that I shouldn't be betting against, you know, the Directors Guild. But I just did not think he would get it at the Oscars. I thought this was going to be a rare moment where the winner of that was not going to win the Oscar. And I just was thinking it would be David Fincher. I just had this gut feeling. And when that didn't happen, I was completely gutted. I'm like, why? What the hell? I mean, I thought like I could predict the future and I was going to be correct.
I think they just thought he was James Cameron and they thought, oh, well, yeah, we didn't give him the Best Director Oscar last year. We'll make up for this year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, seriously.
It looks alike. So, here's Tom Hooper.
And the funny thing is, Catherine Bigelow presented the award and she was probably thinking, whoa, this guy looks like my ex-husband when I was married to him. Oh, wow. Like, seriously. And for you, Randy, what was, like, one of the biggest shocks for you of the awards?
Well, pretty much both of the categories you mentioned, Best Cinematography and Director, even though I chose Tom Hooper, everyone was saying David Fincher was going to take it. But I just took a gamble. I mean, I knew, quote-unquote, that King's Speech was going to win. So I said, well, maybe Tom Hooper's going to win the director. But it was still a surprise.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, as soon as his name was announced for Best Director, I kind of automatically knew King's Speech was going to win Best Picture.
Yeah, it kind of felt like, yeah, it's the Best Director. Best Director's going to get the Best Film kind of thing.
Yeah.
Stop saying So what, on the other side, what were the ones like, what was I trying to say? Like the ones that you knew were going to win, did you feel like they deserved it or... You know, where you kind of like, it just felt like it was their year, but they weren't the best person for the job. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, say Colin Firth, did you think that he was the favorite. Did you think he actually deserved it or did you think it should have been for somebody else?
I think he deserves it, to be honest.
I think he deserved it last year, to be honest.
Well, I still go, a friend of ours on the podcast said on his blog today, which I read today, saying, oh, it was just a makeup Oscar. But I honestly think, like, if he did manage to win Best Actor last year for A Single Man, which he should have, of course, I still reckon he would have still won Best Actor again this year for The King's Speech. That's just my opinion.
Fair enough. In my opinion, and I have said this before, I thought the performance of 2010 belonged to James Franco in 127 Hours. However, I think if his name was on the for the Oscar, like he was going to win it with his hosting, I think that kind of ruined his chances. But I think what really destroyed it, and if his name was on the card, they would have scrubbed it out, is how baked he was as the host. Like he was out of it, man. He was high as a kite.
He definitely was.
It would have been cool if he won, you know, it's like, whoa, thank you, you know.
Whoa, too. Pineapple
this
Express.
Is incredible.
Like, he thought he was in Pineapple Express too, obviously.
I just have the one. That's,
sorry,
that's
go
a word. That's his Pineapple Express role. That's Oscar worthy right there.
I think, I wonder with James Franco's performance on the show if it was all part of like his master plan to like experiment with like performance as he does on General Hospital.
I can't believe he was on General Hospital.
General Hospital.
Where he plays Franco, a serial killer.
Yeah, it was art.
It was art. And he might be doing the same thing for like the Oscar telecast. That's what I thought he must have been doing. Yeah. And being baked at the same time.
Yeah, really. It was just like, what the hell? What the far out. My,
yeah, we were talking about the King's Speech and Colin Firth. So yeah. I basically think all of the actors really deserved it, just like all of the movies. It really, this happens where, you know, all of them really prove themselves. But so in this case, I really think Colin Firth did a great job, you know, from the simple stuttering thing to the whole, you know, crying emotions, regal tone. He was the king, you know, so I really think he did a great job.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from his performance. I thought he was great. I kind of thought he was better in I'm going to call it the wrong thing, A Single Man. I don't know. I guess it was kind of, again, I felt like it was kind of his time.
I don't like that term, like, it's
yeah,
kind
I know,
of his time.
But it just, but I think it felt like it was the right thing.
For me, it was one of, he was my favourite performance from last year, so I can't really say it was his time if he gave the best actor performance of last year.
But he has definitely been growing as an actor, you know. He suddenly appeared in small movies and Bridget Jones until this. He totally has reached, you know, quote, the top. So maybe today in this situation, his time is a more fitting term. I don't know.
I don't know. I just don't like to say, oh, it's like, yeah, this is like a makeup Oscar, because that kind of noise.
I don't think it's like a makeup
so.
Oscar. I just think it was his time to actually win, because he is an amazing actor and he's done some fantastic performances. And, you know, some of the times his performances have gone under the radar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but this kind of movie is definitely like an Oscar movie. It's what they like. It's, you know, it's no surprise it's been like an awards season favorite.
But it's still a great movie, though, regardless, even if it is Oscar, quote unquote, Oscar bait or not.
Yeah, I mean, I had fun watching the movie. Some of the dialogue had me like in stitches when he was, I can't remember what one of the dialogue. It was just like,
was that the knighting?
The knighting one. I freaking can't remember how it goes. I'm trying to look it up, but I can't find it.
I have to admit, Marcy, I think I got more laughs out of the King's Speech this year than any other comedy I saw last year, to be honest. It was really funny, even though it was a drama, but it had so many hilariously funny moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't your traditional period piece.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't feel like, you know, even though it was a costume drama, but it didn't feel like one of those, you know, traditional ones that you always see on that are either done by Merchant Ivory.
Yeah.
or made for television. There was something completely, like, visually much more different and interesting to it. I mean, it's a very murky-looking movie, but at the same time, it looks so beautiful at the same time. I think that because, like, Tom Hooper, like, he's done a lot of, you know, award-winning miniseries like Elizabeth the First, John Adams, and also he did The Damned United, and he always brings something.
I love that movie.
And his visual style is very unique for those movies, when it could have easily just been pretty standard stuff, but I think he like adds a lot to it, even though it seems, but it's very subtle. It kind of seems like on the surface, oh, doesn't look special, but when you sort of look at it, like especially the King's Speech, there's a lot of really good directorial touches there that are just so, like I said, so subtle that you don't even notice them until you like go back and watch the movie again.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite scenes and some of my favorite dialogue from the movie was for the coronation, and what's his name? Lionel goes to sit on the coronation throne and, you know, Bertie gets really pissed off. But it's just the way they, like, the way they talk through that scene, and, you know, Bertie just gets this confidence throughout it because of what Lionel was doing. thought it was just such a perfect setup for that part in the movie. I just, something that was really well done and something I really appreciated from that movie. If you know the scene I'm talking about, and he goes, get up, and he goes, why not? It's a chair. It's not a chair.
I think there's also, because unlike a lot of period, like, costume, quote-unquote, costume dramas, there's a lot of heart to this movie, which I think makes it much different from others as well.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Because, like, David Snyder, he actually did suffer from stuttering when he was a child, so I think this story, like, felt very personal for him, and he fought when he found out that, you know, a one-time King of England had a stuttering problem. He saw that, and when he, you know, did research on it, he realized that it was somehow he could relate to that, and he decided to write this great screenplay that turned out to also be just an equally great movie as well.
Mm. So, I mean, to make a long story short, I really liked the movie. I gave it 4.5 out of 5. So, I mean, I think it's a great film, but I, as you well know, I liked a hell of a lot of movies last year. So it didn't quite crack, like, my top 10, considering I had 13 movies with a 5 out of 5 rating.
I agree.
So,
like, it was my 14th favourite film from last year, even though I know there are 13 other movies that were better than The King's Speech, but it doesn't bother me at all that it won Best Picture, because I still recognize it as a great film, even if it, you know, wasn't in my top 10 of that year.
Yeah. So how's about Miss Portman?
Like, she deserved it.
Did you think she was the best actress of the year?
Yep.
Yeah, totally, definitely.
Now
that is a performance, you know, of the, even exaggerating a little, sure, but of the decade, you know, it's like, it was really, it captured you completely.
Yeah. I saw Black Swan and I loved it when I saw it, but it wasn't until I actually saw it again the movie really sunk in and I really appreciated it more. So I loved it even more on a second viewing, and I think it is definitely a movie you need to see more than once. I don't think it's as hard to watch as Aronofsky's previous films, but it's definitely something you can watch again and get more out of again. And it's a lot easier to mentally prepare yourself to watch it again, whereas I probably couldn't watch The Fountain again, despite the fact that I absolutely love that movie and it's one of my faves. It just hits me so hard that I just can't bring myself to watch it.
Yeah. I agree, and I've seen Black Swan 3 times now, and I love it and love it even more the more times I see it. And I think, like, her performance is amazing in so many different ways. And when you watch the movie, it's probably without a doubt the most emotionally and physically challenging role of her career. Like, I mean, the fact that she had learned in, like, you know, ballet for this movie, I mean, not like just for, like, one scene. I mean, had to be pitch perfect with the ballet scenes, that I just have to commend her just pulling that off, and as well as taking her character into these psychological depths that are at times both terrifying and at the same time kind of tragic as well.
Yeah, but ballet's not an easy feat. Just that alone is worthy enough. I mean, but as you say, the whole psychological stuff, it goes deep, man.
Yeah, it does. And as somebody who has done ballet in the past, Black Swan,
psychological deepness.
Yeah, Black Swan is the reason why I don't do ballet. I mean, I did give up when I was quite young, but I just found it very demanding, and I didn't have quite the right feet for it, because every time I tried to do something, my feet would just cramp up and I couldn't manage to do what I was doing. And it just didn't suit me, basically. I mean, it was fun, but when it was just damaging my feet to the extent that it was, I just couldn't do it anymore. But it is definitely it's a psychological thing to do when you do ballet.
Yeah. I think it's definitely, without a doubt, one of the best performances of a career.
Yeah,
the best, definitely. I'm not sure, but at the moment, I think it's definitely her best, as far as I'm concerned. Both the fact, like I said, it's both her most physically and emotionally powerful role as well.
Yeah, completely.
So how about the supporting roles? Did you think they were the best supporting roles of the year?
Boo, Melissa Leo.
I think she won for her hairstyle.
I would have given her an Oscar for her hair.
and the best hair goes to all of Dickie's sisters, you know.
Oh,
I would have given the best actor award when it comes to hair to, like, Ryan Gosling's hair in Blue Valentine. Sorry. Because that hair was epic, man.
Or lack of.
Yeah, exactly. I just could not stop staring at it while I was watching the movie.
Shiny.
But anyways, I think it's funny, though, because a lot of people coming out and say, like, oh, she shouldn't have won and all that. But for me personally, I think even though of the five who were nominated, she was my third favorite after, you know, Jackie Weaver, who I absolutely love to death. In Animal Kingdom, and as well as Hayley Steinfeld, even though she should have been up for Best Actress. But Melissa Leo, she went out that her role as Alice with so much guts and determination. I mean, she really sunk into that role. Like, I can see why some people might not like it, because a lot of people say it's, like, too over the top, too hammy or cartoonish. But the funny thing is, from what I've heard from those who actually know the real Alice and Leo in real life, they pretty much all agree that Leo's interpretation of Alice was very underplayed, which is kind of funny when you think about it that way. Because, like, Alice, of course, is a larger-than-life character, and you got to bring that. And I think Melissa Leo did a great job of bringing that to the role, of making this person, you know, completely memorable as well.
Yeah, she did a great job, but again, I think this is the case where they actually gave it to her because they owed her one Oscar when she did Frozen River, I think.
Frozen River.
But again, every one of the nominees were totally deserving of the praise they got. But personally, I would have given it to Hailee Steinfeld, basically because I'm rarely surprised. And after True Grit, I'm like, wow, who is this girl? I mean, she took center stage and she totally went head to head with the likes of Matt Damon and Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, I mean, for me, personally, like, along with Natalie Portman, I mean, Hailee Steinfeld was, like, the performance of the year. She was only, what, 14?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was pissed off that she wasn't there for Best Actress, but people nominated her more for the supporting role. And I was thinking, you know, this is such a chance for her to win because we knew that award was going to go to Natalie Portman anyway. So in a way, it was kind of a surprise that Melissa Leo won. I mean, I thought she was great in The Fighter. But I guess as the award season rolled on, I mean, I just knew it was going to go to Melissa Leo, and I felt bad because I thought Hailee Steinfeld really did deserve it.
Yeah.
Yep, agreed.
But at the same time, though, I kind of am happy that they did go with Melissa Leo because she was a supporting performance and not a lead performance, even though I personally think Jackie Weaver should have won, but that's a whole different story altogether. But I'm kind of happy that they awarded a supporting performance and not a lead performance that's just been masqueraded as a supporting performance. Because that would have been a bit unfair to the other nominees if Hailee Steinfeld won, even though she should have as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. She should have been lead, damn it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's all in the end, it's all politics, you know, it's same old story.
True. So let's move on to Jesus. I mean, Christian Bale. Was he your best supporting actor of the year?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bede knows. I said again. My two top at least supporting actors for last year were Christian Bale and Andrew Garfield. And Andrew Garfield was for The Social Network and Never Let Me Go. But Never Let Me Go seemed to kind of disappear under the radar of like major award shows, which is a shame because it's an amazing film. And it really pains me that he did not get an Oscar nomination, at least for The Social Network, because it was so deserving. I really thought he did such a great job of playing Eduardo in the movie, and he just did not get any kind of recognition. But next to him, definitely Christian Bale in The Fighter. I think he deserved it. It was a fantastic performance. What else can you say about him? And he looked kind of like Jesus.
Regardless of lead or supporting, I mean, Christian Bale's performance in The Fighter is, in my opinion, like the performance of 2010. I mean, it's brilliant in every way. Even though a certain friend of ours of the podcast thought his performance was cartoonish, which I completely disagree with. I mean, the fact is, like, if you actually see footage of Dickie Eklund, I mean, Christian Bale perfected his mannerisms, I mean, in absolutely perfect ways.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he also brought a lot of humanity to the character as well, which could have easily have been, you know, just an imitation. But he brought a lot of, you know, sadness and tragedy. But at the same time, especially in the last half of the movie, spoilers, that, you know, trying to better his life as well, you know?
Yeah.
Like, try to get his life back on track. I think he did that perfectly while, as at the same time, doing a perfect, his mannerisms. I don't know, I'm confused. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing that happened with Melissa Leo, right? It's like, yeah, sure, it may be cartoony, but that's the character. Maybe the character's cartoony.
Yeah, I mean, these are like larger-than-life characters, and of course they're going to be like, you know, you're not sure what to make of them the first time you watch them, but when you realize But once you see these actors bring a lot of humanity to these larger-than-life characters, yet you can see that truly are great performances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. I mean, like, I think I can't remember if I mentioned it before on the podcast or if it was just in a review or something or just writing about the movie, but I cried, like, all the way through The Fighter because I was so affected by the movie. Especially, like, the part that got to me so bad was when, you know, Christian Bale as Dickie is just trying to apologize and he wants everybody to get along for, his brother's sake. And, like, he's outside of her apartment and I'm just, like, going, oh, my God. It moved me so much. I mean, if a performance and a movie can do that to me, I mean, surely it's got to be good, right?
But you cried at everything, Marcy.
That is true. I cry a lot. Sorry?
Oscars for everyone.
Indeed, really. So, I mean, were there any other, like, topics you wanted to discuss about, like, who won or who lost?
Probably James Cameron's clone winning.
James Cameron's clone.
I should be, like, really nice to Tom. I mean, it's, even though I don't think he should have won, but I'm, you know, he won the Oscar and, you know, I'm happy for his success. Even though I think, like everyone else, David Fincher should have won, but I'm not, you know, unlike a lot of people out there on the internet for the last few days, I'm not making a big stink out of it, you know?
Mm.
That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he was the best director of the year, and I think we kind of mentioned it before, but, you know, for me it was David Fincher, hands down. I mean, I thought all the directors did a great job. We had, you know, Darren Aronofsky, the Coens, and David O. Russell. Like, I thought they all did such great jobs with their movies. I just don't think Tom Hooper was the best. For me, I think it was The Social Network. I mean, The Social Network was, like, in my top three of last year. I think it was my number two. And that complete, I mean, I really think it should have been him. I mean, if anything, we can just hold out hope that, like, you know, he will win a Best Director Oscar someday.
For the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah, well, hopefully Rooney Mara learns how to act. You know what
that means, Marcy? That means Rooney Mara might get nominated for Best Actress.
Yeah, like I just said, I hope she learns how to freaking act, because she is atrocious.
Well, you'll never know. You never know.
Well, yeah, I mean, she might surprise us all. I will not... I'm not going to, like, rule her out completely. I'll wait and see.
Yeah, Fincher, well, saw something. We don't know what, right? But she saw something in her that we'll hopefully see someday.
He just saw somebody who wants the bone.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what directors are doing, I mean, when I go to a director of my movie, all it's going to have is just a slew of really hot people, and there's going to be one big orgy. Oh, wait, that'd be like a porno. Anyway. So any other, like, categories you want to venture into, or is that probably it for the actual categories?
I'll just have a look. Oh, we could talk about the actual ceremony itself.
Yeah, like, well, the next thing I wanted to discuss was the actual show. I mean, I always kind of enjoy the shows. I mean, they're silly. The hosts can do some shocking things. I think, like, you know, from everybody that's done them before, I mean, they always leave a lasting impression. I mean, this was definitely, like, the Oscars for the new generation, having such young... you know, co-host, but I just thought it kind of came off as boring, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I didn't like the jokes, weren't that funny. Everything just kind of fell flat. And by the end, James Franco was just like, he didn't know where he was.
With emotions.
He was totally baked, man.
Yeah, he was. Like, he didn't know what was going on.
He wanted a sandwich, a munchie.
He wanted the share. He should have shared us his weed.
Yeah, really, where's my James Franco weed? Give me my weed, man.
Yeah, it was a really toned down show. It's like, I don't know if they really tried. They started off, I don't know, pretty well with a skit with Alec Baldwin and the whole Inception thing, but maybe it gave me some kind of hope that it might be, you know, really fun or funny, but, you know, after a while it just was all about the awards and who won and who didn't.
Mm. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, but I'm interrupting you.
No, it's all right.
Go ahead. You go. I'll let you go.
I was going to say one of my favorite moments of the entire show was Kirk Douglas, because he just went on forever. And it's like, you felt sorry for all the Best Supporting Actress nominees, but you could just see them in the scene as he pulled out the envelope. You think he's about to say who the winner is, and he goes, you know, and he just keeps going and going. And those poor supporting actress nominees, you just feel like inside their mind, they're just saying, get on my back!
Get on with it.
Yeah, it was funny.
It created great suspense, a suspenseful moment. You know, it's one of those things that make the Oscars great, kind of, that one of those unexpected moments.
I agree.
Yeah.
He should host that next year.
Oh, the winner for best live action short movie is that guy.
10 hours.
Yeah, he should host next year's Oscars. That'd be awesome. But then again, the Oscars might go for like 20 hours.
Yeah. Although
Oscars marathon.
Although we should have someone as awesome as George Hardy to
Fuck yeah. hell yeah. I want to campaign George Hardy for next year's Oscars as the host.
We totally should.
You know who
tell me. Tell me.
I was going to say, I felt sorry for poor Hugh Jackman. He just got singled out the entire night.
Yeah, he did.
It's like, you know, it's like there's this one section where, like, Anne Hathaway does a song and dance, and she, like, quote-unquote refers to Hugh Jackman, supposed to come up on stage and, like, sing with him. And it just cuts off, and it's like, oh, Anne, don't bring me into this, please. Don't bring me into this section where you're bombing, please.
One day was enough.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys think Anne Hathaway should have done it by herself?
Maybe. She basically almost did, because what did James Franco do, really? He just sat there or stood there and looked baked.
And went on drag.
Like, I think she could have, she was kind of enthusiastic to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's possible. Like, I mean, it could have been better, but then we wouldn't have had, like, all the jokes about James Franco being baked.
Exactly. I think with Anne Hathaway, I think she might have just overdid it a little bit. She was kind of a little too enthusiastic and trying a little too hard at times. But, yeah, that's just me.
I think that was a feeling of James Franco not really supporting her, so she's like, shit, I have to go 110%, you know.
Very true.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless there's anything else, I think that's probably a wrap for our post-Oscar discussion.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence in that red dress.
Real. I know. She looked so beautiful. Yeah, she looked gorgeous. Giggity, 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 goo. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a wrap for our post-Oscar show. And as a new tradition on the show, which I totally forgot for like the first 50 episodes, I'm going to tell the listeners where we can be found. So you can find me at supermarcy.com. You can email me at marcy@supermarcy.com. You can find me on Twitter at supermarcy. You can find us on Facebook at superpodcast. And I think that's probably about all the places you can find me. You can just look up supermarcy.
The supermarket.
You can go to the supermarket and hopefully I'll be there. I mean, if you just Google Super Marcy, you'll find me, or, you know, Marcy and my last name, which you'll have to find out for yourself. And Bede, where can people find you, buddy?
Well, you can find me in Hollywood trying to genetically engineer clones of James Cameron so they can win future Oscars. but seriously, though, you can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/Beachamide, or my Facebook at facebook.com/Beachamide, or you can see my my weekly writings for supermarcy.com as for both the recommendations of the week and as well as my movie song of the week. And as well, you can see me on MFC, moviefancentral.com, Terra Jars, where I'll be doing like Morgan Freeman impressions all the time.
Nice.
And Mr. Randy, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, basically, you can just Google Randy Chico, you know, Randy Chico altogether, or Twitter, I'm Randy for film. So there you go.
You're Randy for films. I like
that. No, I'm Randy for film.
I'm Randy for film.
Not you, me.
I know, but I am too.
I'm Randy for film.
Yes.
I don't know. Do I follow your Twitter? I have
Who's
no idea.
Who's first?
I don't know. What? Anyway, we're confused and lost.
Yes.
So,
as we usually are.
Indeed. So I have been super. Bede has been... Bede has been terrible, and Randy Bede has been Marcy. Shut up. Bede has been terrible. Marcy has been super, and Randy has been a Chico.
Oh yeah.
So with that, I say good night and good luck.
See you, everyone. Night.